go back a little bit on the 17th of April, 1938. During Mass, I thank the Lord Jesus for having died to redeem us and for having given us that greatest of all gifts, namely His love in Holy Communion. That is His very own self. At that moment, I was drawn into the bosom of the Most Holy Trinity, and I was immersed in the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These moments are hard to describe. Today we celebrate the Feast of Blessed Trinity. You know, it's good to hear something about Blessed Trinity. At the moment, I prayed to the Lord for a certain person, and the Lord answered me, "This soul is particularly dear to me." I was immensely happy with this. The happiness of the other souls fills me with new joy. And when I see the higher gifts in some soul, my heart soars up to the Lord in a new hymn of adoration. April 19, 1938. During recreation, one of the sisters said, "Sister Faustina is doing so poorly that she can hardly walk, but may she die soon because she is going to be a saint." Then one of the sister directresses said that she is going to die, we know, but whether she is going to be a saint, that is another question. They then began some malicious remarks on the subject. I knelt silent, I kept silent. Then I put in a word. But I saw that the conversation was getting worse, so again I felt silent. It's very important to keep silent most of the time. My heavenly mother also, she did many things, but she kept silent. Salvation history. Our heavenly mother took a lot of places, but in the scripture you see nearly nothing. I heard that, some of the resources says she prohibited to be written on the paper. She wanted to be a silent part of the redemption history. At present, I'm getting letters from sisters who are in other houses and who made a novitiate with me. They often amuse me and make me laugh, as they usually go something like this: "Dear Sister Faustina, we are very sorry that you are so gravely ill, but we are very happy that when the Lord Jesus takes you away, you will pray for us, for you have a lot of influence with the Lord." One of the sisters put it this way: "When you die, sister, please take me under your special care, for certainly you can do that for me." Also today, tell Sister Faustina that she can protect you. Another sister wrote as follows: "How I'm waiting for the time when the Lord Jesus will take you, because I know what will happen there. What will happen then? And I greatly desire death for you." I did want to ask her what she was thinking of concerning my death, but I mortified myself and answered, "The same thing will happen to me, a sinner, as happens to all sinners, if God's mercy does not shield me." So we got the same grace. So April 20th, 1938, departure for Pranik. I was very worried that I would be put on bed in a ward and be exposed to all sorts of things. If it were to be for only a week or two, but it is for such a long time, 2 months or perhaps more. In the evening, I went in for a long talk with the Lord Jesus. When I saw the Lord Jesus, I poured out my whole heart before Him. All my troubles, fears, and apprehensions. Jesus lovingly listened to me and then said, Be at peace, my child. I am with you. Go in great peace. All is ready. I have ordered, in my own special way, a private room to be prepared for you. Reassured and overwhelmed with gratitude, I went to bed. On the following day, Sister Felicia took me there. I left in great peace and a calm spirit. When we arrived, they told me there was a private room for Sister Faustina. When we entered the room, we were surprised that everything had been prepared so beautifully. All was clean and neat, covered with tablecloths and bedecked with flowers. A pretty Easter lamb had been placed on the night table by the sisters. At once, three Sacred Heart sisters who worked at the sanatorium, my old acquaintances, came and greeted me warmly. Sister Felicia was surprised at all this. We bid a warm farewell to each other and she left. When I was alone with just the Lord Jesus and myself, I thank him for this great grace. Jesus said to me, "Be at peace. I am with you." Tired, I fell asleep. In the evening, the sister who was to look after me came and said, "Tomorrow you will not receive the Lord Jesus, sister, because you are very tired. Later on, we shall see." This hurt me very much, but I said with great calmness, "Very well," and resigning myself totally to the will of the Lord, I tried to sleep. In the morning, I made my meditation and prepared for Holy Communion. Even though I was not to receive the Lord Jesus, when my love and desire had reached the high degree, I saw at my bedside a seraph, an angel, who gave me Holy Communion, saying these words, "Behold, the Lord of angels." When I received the Lord, my spirit was drowned in the love of God and in amazement. This was repeated for 13 days. Although I was never sure he would bring me Holy Communion the next day, yet I put my trust completely in the goodness of God, but did not even dare to think that I would receive Holy Communion in this way on the following day. The angel gave her communion. Even the sisters, you are not ready. No, it might be too weak. The seraph was surrounded by great lights, the divinity and love of God being reflected in him. He wore a golden robe, and over it a transparent surplice, and a transparent stole. The chalice was crystal, covered with a transparent veil. As soon as he gave me the Lord, he disappeared. Once, when a sudden doubt rose within me shortly before Holy Communion, the seraph with the Lord Jesus stood before me again. I asked the Lord Jesus, and not receiving any answer, I said to the seraph, "Could you perhaps hear my confession? And he answered me, "No spirit in heaven has that power." And at that moment, the sacred host rested on my lips. On Sunday, April 24th, 1928, the sister who had charge of the sick said to me, "Well, sister, the priest will bring you the Lord Jesus today." I answered, "Good." and he brought him. After some time, I received permission to leave my bed. So I went to Holy Mass and to spend time with the Lord regularly. After the first examination, the doctor found that her condition was grave. We suspect, sister, that you do have the illness about which you spoke to me, but Almighty God can do all things. When I entered my room, I steeped myself in prayer of thanksgiving for everything the Lord had been sending me throughout my whole life, surrounding myself totally to His holy will. A deep joy and peace flooded my soul. I felt a peace so great that if death had come at that moment, I would not have said to it, "Wait, for I still have some matters to attend to." No, I would have welcomed it with joy, because I'm ready for the meeting with the Lord, not only today, but ever, since the moment when I placed my complete trust in the divine mercy, resigning myself totally to His holy will, full of mercy and compassion, although what I am of myself. Are you ready to go to see the Lord? Maybe you say, not yet, you have so many things to do. But for Faustina, already complete. Mission is complete. It's His mission. So joyful, huh, to meet the Lord. If the heart, it's just a real heart for Jesus. And Jesus needs our hearts, not just our physical presence. It's not enough. Jesus created in His image, Blessed Trinity, giving out, always for. So Jesus always for us, completely, totally, and we don't. Low Sunday. Today, I again offered myself to the Lord as a holocaust for sinners. My Jesus, if the end of my life is already approaching, I beg you most humbly, accepting my death in union with you as a holocaust which I offer you today, while I still have full possession of my faculties and a full conscious will, and this for a threefold purpose. Firstly, that the work of your mercy may spread throughout the whole world, and that the feast of the divine mercy may be solemnly promulgated and celebrated. Secondly, the sinners, especially dying sinners, may have recourse to your mercy and experience the unspeakable effects of this mercy. Thirdly, that all the work of your mercy may be realized according to your wishes and for a certain person who is in charge of this work. Accept, most merciful Jesus, this, my inadequate sacrifice, which I offer to you today before heaven and earth. May your most sacred heart, so full of mercy, complete what is lacking in my offering, and offer it to your Father for the conversion of sinners, a thirst after souls, O Christ. At that moment, the light of God penetrates my deep being, and I felt that I was God's exclusive property, and I experienced the greatest spiritual freedom, of which I had no previous idea. And at the same time, I saw the glory of the divine mercy and an infinite multitude of souls who were praising His goodness. My soul was completely drowned in God, and I heard these words, "You are my well-beloved daughter." The vivid presence of God continued throughout the whole day. You see, she's just in your room, not even in the church, not in the chapel, not even during Mass. May 1st, 1938, this evening, Jesus said to me, "My daughter, do you need anything?" I answered, "Oh my Lord, when I have you, I have everything." And the Lord answered, "If souls would put themselves completely in my care, I myself would undertake the task of sanctifying them, and I would lavish even greater graces on them." go straight before him. Let him do. God is so ready. The problem is we are not ready. Not that ready. I myself would undertake the task of sanctifying them and would lavish even greater graces on them. They are souls who thought my efforts, but I have not given up on them. As often as they turn to me, I hurry to their aid, shield them with my mercy, and I give them the first place in my compassionate heart. Although at times you reject, but don't worry. If you just say again, tell him that you want, you'll come at once. His love, pure love, not human love. Our love is conditional. See whatever happened. Any people like me or not like me, Jesus doesn't care. He just wants a warm heart. You can see our heart is so cold. Jesus says, right, for the benefit of religious souls, that it unites me to come to their hearts in Holy Communion. But if there is anyone else in such a heart, I cannot bear it and quickly lift the heart. I read again. Right, for the benefit of religious souls, that it unites me to come to their hearts in Holy Communion. So, receive Holy Communion with heart. Don't distract yourself, looking here and there. But if there is anyone else in such a heart, I cannot bear it and quickly leave their heart. That means your heart is something other things, some other person. You cannot stay. Even your beloved cannot take the place of God. Seriously. Eh? Many times we say we love the Lord, but we have so many distractions, not only visual, heartful. I leave their hearts, taking with me all the gifts and graces I have prepared for the soul. You see, that's why many times you don't receive any grace, because you don't have the heart. It cannot enter our heart. And the soul does not even notice my going. We might think, oh Jesus, but we have two hearts. Little bit for Jesus and many things for yourself and for other people. Jesus left. After some time, inner emptiness and this dissatisfaction will come to her attention. Oh, if only she would turn to me then, I would help her to cleanse her heart. I would fulfill everything in her soul. But without her knowledge and consent, I cannot be the master of her heart. So, maybe at times you've got distracted. Say sorry. Invite him back. He is ready. But we have to completely let Jesus in. I often communicate with persons who are dying and obtained the divine mercy for them. Oh, how great is the goodness of God, greater than we can understand. There are moments and there are mysteries of the divine mercy over which the heavens are astonished, that our judgment of souls cease, for God's mercy upon them is extraordinary. Maybe some people, you know, they're so wicked. Maybe we say, no more chance. Only be human judgment. Not the same as Jesus. You look at every person, treasure, precious. Don't lose hope. During Holy Hour today, I asked the Lord Jesus if he would deign to teach me about the spiritual life. Jesus answered me, "My daughter, faithfully live up to the words which I speak to you. Do not value any external things too highly, even if it were to seem very precious to you. Let go of yourself and abide with me continually, and trust everything to me, and do nothing on your own." And you will always have great freedom of spirit. No circumstances or events will ever be able to upset you. Set little store on what people say. Let everyone judge you as they like. Do not make excuses for yourself. It will do you no harm. Give away everything at the first sign of a demand, even if they were the most necessary things. Do not ask for anything without consulting me. Allow them to take away even what is due you: respect, your good name. Let your spirit rise above all things, and so set free from everything. Rest close to my heart, not allowing your peace to be disturbed by anything. My pupil, consider the words which I have spoken to you. So Jesus expects complete trust in him, nothing else. Of course, we have so many distractions, people, what people says, and you know, you're disturbed. Jesus knows it. "Oh, my love, my eternal master, how good it is to obey. Because when obedience infuses the soul, it brings with it power and strength to act. Today, I saw the crucified Lord Jesus. Precious pearls and diamonds were pouring out forth from the wounds in his heart. I saw how a multitude of souls were gathering these gifts. But there was one soul who was closest to his heart, and she, in the greatness of these gifts, was gathering them with liberality, not only for herself, but for others as well. The Savior said to me, 'Behold, the treasures of grace that flow down upon souls, but not all souls know how to take advantage of my generosity.'" Some people know how to collect, you know, the gifts, but we don't take much importance. "Today, the Lord said to me, 'My daughter, look into my merciful heart and reflect this compassion in your own heart and in your own deeds, so that you, who proclaim my mercy to the world, may yourself be aflamed with it.'" May 8, 1938. "Today, I saw two enormous pillars implanted in the ground. I had implanted one on them and a certain person the other. We had done so with unheard of effort, much fatigue and difficulty. And when I had implanted the pillar, I myself wondered where such extraordinary strength had come from, and recognized that I had not done this by my own strength, but with the power which came from above. These two pillars were close to each other in the area of the image, and I saw the image raised up very high and hanging from these two pillars. In an instant, there stood a large temple supported both from within and from without, upon these two pillars. I saw a hand finishing the temple, but I did not see the person. There was a great multitude of people inside and outside the temple, and the torrents issuing from the compassionate heart of Jesus were flowing down upon everyone. After Holy Communion today, Jesus said, "My daughter, give me souls." Know that it is your mission to win souls for me by prayer and sacrifice, and by encouraging them to trust in my mercy. So Faustina's first job is to pray for souls, for sinners, and sacrifice. Oh, how greatly I desire the glory of your mercy for me, bitterness and suffering. When I see the glory of your mercy, I'm immeasurably happy that all disgrace, humiliation, and abasement come down upon me, as long as the glory and praise of your mercy resound everywhere. That's all that matters. So this is only love can say these words. Love Jesus, despite she suffers so much. And we try to live like our little sister Faustina. This year we don't have his relics with us, but it seems we're the same. Right? We got all the graces today. Yeah? Grace of Faustina. I think our heart is more open. Nothing else. Just that the most precious thing is that when you receive Holy Communion with heart, not even one thing, it obstructs the entry of the grace of the Lord. You must be pure, because Jesus is pure. We have opened. It's an experience, a spiritual experience. You don't need to meditate for 10 hours in order to have this. Faustina, just feel 3 seconds, you have this. Importance whether you do it or not. Many times we attend the retreat and you know how to meditation, and then for hours sitting down, not thinking on anything. It's okay, it helps. But so much just for staying just 1 second, telling us so important when you receive Holy Communion, forget everything. Just pure it only for Him. Only for Him. Only. Nothing else. Even yourself, forget about yourself, forget about your beloved, forget about the troubles. You have the pure heart. Jesus will look after them. Especially people from the Philippines. You worry about them, you know, what happened to your children, happened to your husband, or what happened to your mother, your father, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law. At times they call you, they want this and want that, but you're disturbed. One mind, one heart with the Lord.